Okay, so I grew up in southeast Baltimore, just over the city line into the edge of Dundalk. You might have heard of it. And I still live there. I grew up in one of these really Baltimore situations where I was in a house with my parents and later my sister after she was born. Across the street, I had one set of grandparents, and across the street, also, I had an aunt and uncle. And then on the other side of the block, directly behind my parents' house, I had the other set of grandparents. So, all of my grandparents came to Baltimore from further south to work. And just to set the scene, the houses that we live in, that I grew up in, originally they were called the Royal Concrete Homes. And true story. And they were built on top of a landfill. And so if you asked a child to draw you a picture of a house, that's what our houses look like before people started building onto them. It'd be like a square with a triangle, two windows, and a door. And all the walls were poured concrete. So my mother's parents were the grandparents that lived behind us. And I used to spend a lot of time over there. And I say they lived together, but they really lived apart together. So my grandfather was from North Carolina. My grandmother's from Tennessee. They were married when they were younger. They started to hate each other around middle age, and they got divorced. And then when my grandfather thought he was going to die, they got remarried. So, but he stuck around for a while longer. So, I used to walk across the backyard to visit them. So I'm walking across the grass, across a cinder block path that my grandfather had made to kind of keep us from sinking into the mud. We're right by the water also. And then up this dilapidated back porch with like piles of bricks and stuff and an old falling apart cabinet and sometimes a collie. And through the screen door, through the French door, to his part of the house, which was wood paneling, and it had an old TV with rabbit ears, a table you could eat at, Christmas cards taped to the wall year-round, a twin bed. When he got older, he couldn't really get to a bedroom, so that became his like little efficiency apartment, and it had one of those blue felt blankets on it that was all pilled, and he had a really worn armchair and a coffee can that he used to also use as a bathroom when he got up in age. Okay, so then you go from his room, you go through the kitchen. This is middle ground. Then you pass through there to my grandmom's part of the house where she had a white sofa. She had her paintings. She was a painter, she was an artist, and she was magical. My grandfather was magical too, but in his own way. So she had her paintings on the wall in gold frames. She had mirrors. She had beautiful exotic objects from all around the world. She had art books, a big console TV that was usually playing like the Rockford Files or In the Heat of the Night. She smoked Benson Hedges cigarettes, and the smoke would always be curling up in the blue TV light after dark. She wore pajamas a lot of the time, like satin pajamas and plush slippers. She ate chocolates while she read romance novels on her white sofa. She had like a faux Victorian rotary phone on a table. So this is the world my grandmom created for herself. And I used to go spend time with her, and she would have like a shoebox full of her broken costume jewelry that we would use to remake jewelry. She taught me how to paint. She would tell me all the family stories because she was the keeper of the stories and the treasures and the photographs and the histories, and she wanted to make sure I knew that all. She didn't really fuss with children, you can imagine in a world like that, but she took time with me. As a matter of fact, when my mom was pregnant with me, my grandmother gave her this doll that I still have that had black hair and fair skin and eyes like mine, and she told my mom that that's what I was going to look like. And my mom actually says that she could feel the hand of God like coloring me. I came out to look just like my grandmom's prediction. So years went by, and grandma got sick. First, she had breast cancer, and then that ended up being colon cancer. It spread. And she managed to maintain dignity with wigs, and the wigs were fabulous. And then later, even a colostomy bag. But by then, also, I was a teenager, and social media had come out. And at our house, at my mom and dad's house, we had a computer with America Online. And I used to get on and chat with my little friends. So there came a time when the doctors said that my grandmom wouldn't be getting any better. And I was kind of in my own little world. I wasn't going to visit it as much. And this is really where tonight's story starts, and it's short. When my grandmom was on her deathbed, I was across the backyard on the computer, and I felt a rush of wind, and I passed out in the middle of the family room. And when I came to, the phone rang, and I already knew what the news was. She had come to say goodbye on her way out. She had passed away. So now, many years later, in true Baltimore fashion, I live in my grandparents' house, and the bedroom where she passed away is now my studio. And one time I did a timeline on the studio wall, and I realized that the year that she passed away was the year that I decided I wanted to be a professional artist. And now I'm the keeper of all the beautiful things and the pictures and the stories and the memories in our history. And my mother says I act more and more like my grandmother every day.